shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome back here on the World Famous Phil Hendry Show, our news and information hour here on this Thursday night, and glad to be with you here, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Thank you to Vernon Dozier and to our Art Griego and that whole goofy thing with the, and a very tragic story with the ship running aground there in Italy. So thanks to our guests. Thank you, folks, for your input this evening. Although Vernon was pushy with that one guy from New York, calling him an idiot, and then with that one lady, Jessica, very nice lady, who he said was leaving herself wide open to Newt Gingrich's charms. Now,
that was pretty weird.
Weird? That don't even tell half the story of that guy. So, welcome back to our program. A note that we'd like you to visit our website. This is the strong right arm of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, the Phil Hendry Show website. It's where you can get live streaming audio, you get the live streaming video cast of the show each and every day. You can also watch this on demand, too, if you miss this video cast at any given, or this broadcast. If you're listening to us and you haven't heard the entire show, or there are nights where you miss the show, you can get the podcast the next day. Very, very simply, go to our website, get a backstage pass, and get our podcast. If you want to hear it for free, you can hear it for free. There is a streaming version on our site. So if any part of the radio show you miss, you go the next day to the streaming site or to the actual streaming link there and listen to a stream of the previous night's show. We have archives, and also we have our shop, and the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie is the hit of the season. You might want to pick up your hoodie. It's still cold throughout the country. And even here in California, the surfers are picking up their Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie because it's a nice, toasty, warm thing to wear out there at 4 a.m. when you are in the pitch black trying to, you know, catch a wave and ride the wild surf. You guys are nuts, man. I'm going to tell you.
So I saw a guy the other day walking down the street, and he's in a wetsuit like 7 a.m.
That they must be freezing their asses off out there. I see those guys. You're right. Where our El Pacifico studio is located, we often see surfers coming from the beach, and they're walking down the street to their car. Nothing wrong with that. It just makes me cold looking at them, because these cats are in wetsuits from head all the way down to their feet, and their heads are covered up, and they look like they're freezing their asses off.
You know what those guys told me to do?
What?
Can I say?
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Shut up. I'm going to do it.
What?
Well, they pee.
Yeah, they pee in their suit.
Oh, I've heard of that. Yeah, sure.
You have?
Yeah. They urinate right into their suit because it keeps them warm.
You kidding me? That's perverted.
Why is it? That ain't perverted, man. It's got nothing to do with perversion.
It's not perversion, bud, so much as it just is. It's unusual, but hey, it keeps them warm. What do you want them to do, bud? Do you want them to get out of the water and go to the head and go to the bathroom and get back into their wetsuit and walk all the way down and get back on their board and go back? Are you nuts?
Yeah, but you're peeing all over yourself.
Well, that's what they do. I mean, the astronauts did that.
Now you're really nuts.
No, I'm not. The astronauts did that. Before they came up with a way for the astronauts to urinate into some kind of receptacle, it's a very famous part of Tom Wolfe's book, The Right Stuff. I think it was John Glenn or somebody. Might have been John Glenn, was laying up there on top of that rocket waiting for that thing to blast off, and he suddenly had to go to the bathroom. And he said to Mission Control or whoever the hell, you know, Cape Canaveral, he said, hey, I don't know how to tell you guys this, but I got to go. And they'd never, ever thought of that eventuality. Because keep in mind, in those days, space travel was one revolution, two revolutions, maybe, and you're back on Earth. It was literally a matter of minutes. Because I remember this as a kid, you know, I was in second grade when Alan Shepard went up, and I remember them saying, boy, Alan Shepard went into space today. Well, in subsequent years, I looked at Alan Shepard's flight. It was nothing. It was, he got into outer space and came straight back down. It was about 15 minutes. He didn't even orbit the Earth. And then, I guess it was a few others, and then came John Glenn. Well, what happened was, John Glenn's up there in the capsule on top of this huge Saturn rocket. And there's all kinds of this liquid fuel and steam, and there's all this, you know, all this noise, and he's, you know, and he says, and they're back there at Mission Control, and they're making all their adjustments, and they're pushing buttons, and they're making sure everything's going to be cool. And Glenn's like, would you guys come on? And because he was going to do one, I don't know what he did, maybe one or two revolutions around the planet, around Earth. And then he's back, you know.
How long back will it take?
I don't know. Maybe an hour?
Nah, it's going to take longer than that.
I don't know. I don't know how long it takes to go around the Earth twice in outer space. It can't be that long. But he came back that day. Anyway, they had never thought of it, if you can believe it. Never. They had never, it had never entered NASA's, and the proof is there was nowhere for the guy to go. If you had to go in the capsule there during the early days of Gemini, and that's what that was, the early Gemini project, when they began to orbit the Earth, that was Gemini. Where are we supposed to? And so all of a sudden, the guys at NASA were faced with this, wow, you know, what are we going to do? And the guy said to him, might have been Alan Shepard, maybe. They looked at it, and they looked at the suit, and they said, well, is there anything going to short out? No. And so they said, you know what? Let her rip, man. You know, go ahead.
What's that mean?
It means they said, go ahead and urinate into your suit if you have to. If you have to go and there's no, we're sure as hell we're not going to unscrew the hatch and pull you out of there just so you can go to the bathroom. It ain't going to happen. So you might as well go ahead and go in your suit. And that's what he did. And I think they even featured in the movie, didn't they?
Yeah, they got a problem with that. All the sensors went off and stuff.
All the sensors?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happened, I guess. It lit up every one of the sensors on the suit that were otherwise monitoring his physiology. So it's kind of an interesting part. But it's funny what you think of, what you don't think of. And all that multi-million-dollar gadgetry and all of that stuff and everything that they planned for and everything that they had, every contingency. And, oh, guess what? There's nowhere for the guy to go. And there was a lot of things they didn't think of. The hatch. And the exploding bolts and the thing that happened with Grissom, it's an amazing story. And I don't know how we got on this, but it was urinating into surfers, because it's cold. That's great. All right, so you heard the comments of Vernon Dozier there on the South Carolina debate. He didn't say jack diddly about the debate. He was talking about how Gingrich wants to sleep with your wife.
Yeah, I did an informal phone poll and the people when we called him in, they thought he's nuts.
Well, I think that goes without saying. In the electric debate on Thursday night in North Charleston, South Carolina, the four remaining Republican presidential candidates clashed sharply over who has the temperament, character, and know-how to lead the party into a general election as they clamor to take advantage of the race's changing dynamic. Newt Gingrich, on the record here, said it was despicable of the news media to raise questions about a previous marriage. A feisty Rick Santorum offered himself as the only true conservative in the race, and accused his two main rivals for playing footsie with the left. Frontrunner Mitt Romney again became defensive under pressure to release his tax returns, saying that he would not apologize for being successful in America and that he would release his returns in April. See, right there is a defensive. That's a negative word. That sounds like his temperament is off. He wasn't defensive at all. Not at all. I watched this thing, and I assume that the reporter for the Washington Post watched it, but you never know. No, he didn't become defensive at all. He was asked a question, why won't you release, or will you? And he said, I might. I don't know. He said, what we're doing is preparing our income taxes, and we're going to get them done for last year. And, yeah, we'll release those. How many more we'll release, we're not sure. So John King kept pressing, and he said, well, your father, he said he would release 10 years. He said, well, are you going to follow your father's lead? He said, maybe, maybe not, which I thought was very funny. And he even laughed at his own joke, but John King didn't, and so that meant that it fell flat. And
anyway, there are a bunch of liberals on CNN.
And there are a bunch of liberals on CNN. So I thought it was just my own read of this thing. Romney didn't hurt himself as much as maybe the Washington Post think he'd. No, he didn't. I think Gingrich bounced back from whatever damage might have been done with that marriage comment. Did he bounce back enough to actually win the primary? Because, as we mentioned to you last night, 21% is a long bounce. That's what we had yesterday, 21% between him and Romney, Romney in the lead in South Carolina. Rick Santorum was fine, except he ain't going to get elected president of the United States. He's just not. And the reason is, I believe he, let's take two things here. The guy's a conservative, and he thinks that that's really great. No, it's not. It may win you the nomination, which would be a mistake for the Republicans. The Republican Party is not just a party of conservatives. The Republican Party is center to right, but it's not far right, and it's not even right. So to say that...
Yeah, it's wrong. Remember that thing that Rebel got said? That was funny. He goes, he says, what do you do? I write. No, you wrong.
Yeah, that was all right, man. I hit him in the teeth with a rifle butt. Yeah. All right, fine. You guys are watching Reds. Good for you. What do you do? I write. No, you wrong. Anyway,
That was the funniest part.
Get out of here, will you, bud? So, Santorum saying, I'm a conservative. I'm the only conservative. Well, that's great. Okay, so maybe you win the nomination. You will not get elected president. You're not going to get elected president. A Republican could win. But the American people are not that in love with the far right as much as a lot of those guys, any more than they're in love with the far left. You know, and so when you say that it is the ideology of one or the other that really drives a party and drives the nomination and really that's where your real support comes from, that may well be in the right years that may get you elected. This ain't the year. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that while Obama is still under 50% in approval, I believe that Obama has gained rather than lost in terms of the ultimately the trust, the real trust of the American voter. I'm not talking about those heady days after he got elected and everybody was just in love and it was Obama summer, whatever the hell they call it, Obama spring, American spring. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about at the nadir of that damn economic meltdown when everyone thought it was just a major disaster. I personally don't believe that Obama is quite as in the tank as you know, at the bottom of the barrel as some people think in terms of approval, you know.
I don't care. Yeah, me neither.
Well, I didn't ask you whether you cared or not.
Move on to something else.
Yeah. What about that? Will you get that Johnny? I love Johnny Otis. Get it out of here, okay?
I didn't play Johnny Otis. I was going to play something else.
What? Chicken of the sea. Get out of here with the chicken of the sea. All right, we'll be right back here on a world-famous Phil Henry show, and it is our news and information hour. Stick around. We have more to talk about. Chicken of the sea, the situation there in Italy. The feds have shut down Mega U-Upload. Oh, boy, this SOPA thing, I got to explain this because it's a cluster, if you know what I mean. We'll be right back here, the world-famous Phil Henry show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry show. Phil Henry Show.
You showed a headline there. That is from what paper is that, bud?
I don't know. That's the Washington Post.
Seafarers outraged at Italian captain accused of jumping ship. Yeah, we were dealing with that with Art Griego. Welcome back to our program here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. It's a couple of those Italian cruise ship stories that we may or may not get to. Here's one that dovetails with this story about SOPA, S-O-P-A, Stop Online Piracy Act. That's what that means. Many of my Spanish-speaking friends were saying, hey, what's all this talk about soup? Which, by the way, albondigas is my favorite Hispanic soup, or Mexican, if you will.
Yay!
Thank you. Now then, and I know exactly where to get it. It's a place called I Chihuahua in Fillmore, but I digress.
Man, I went out. That's the best albondigas soup I ever had. What's the name of it?
Well, I'll tell you later.
You told him. Why don't you tell me?
Because I ain't talking about that right now.
Called out Chihuahua, Fillmore. Thanks.
Yeah, okay, you know what? I may have to stop going there now because you're going to send everybody over there and they're going to make millions and they'll expand and they will become a big success story. And the next thing you know, they're going to be making tacos and it'll be a, you know, like a McDonald's. All right, now, Stop Online Piracy Act, you've seen it. Why does it matter to you? Why should you give a hoot and a half? Well, here's why. It's a law, and it may be a very ill-advised law, I believe at the end of the day it is. However, a lot of the people that are opposed to it are opposed to it on a sort of a knee-jerk, monkey-see-monkey-do, philosophy. I don't think 90% of the people that are opposed to the Stop Online Piracy Act really know what it is. Because I was talking to a few of them on Twitter today, and they're all about, like, you know, hey, well, what about fair use? Just really stupid questions that I got nothing to do with Stop Online Piracy. Why should you care? Because right now there is thievery going on. I don't know, maybe you don't care, but some people make their living by way of product that they protect with a copyright. And that means that if it is a copyright-protected piece of material, you must have permission from the copyright holder to use it. That's what the law says. Is it the right law? Is it the wrong law? Do you want to talk about the law? You know, a lot of these pea brains that operate on the internet think that it's up for discussion. No, it ain't. It's the law. Now, you can change it if you want. You can make a better law. But right now, that law protects not multi-billionaire companies. It protects a lot of small people, too. So we have in the United States this copyright protection law called the Digital Millennium Act. It is our law here in America. It works very, very well. Small copyright holders, as well as large copyright holders like Sony Pictures and these big companies, they're all protected, and they're protected very well. However, something has happened internationally. International torrent sites, and those are sites that take material and just, post it and share it. You can call yourself a torrent site. Doesn't make any difference. If you are hosting or linking or otherwise making available to people material that is copyright protected and the holder asks you to take it down, the law says you must take it down. International law. But there are people internationally that don't adhere to that. There are people in Sweden, for instance, Pirate Bay, which actually post the takedown letters and makes fun of them. There are people in those countries that take copyright-protected material, and they post it, and when they're asked to take it down, they tell people to stick it up their ass. Excuse my French. So, what do you do about that? Now, here's where the confusion comes in. The people that are opposed to the Stop Online Piracy Act, most of them are talking about fair use and a bunch of horse dung that's already dealt with in the United States. It's got nothing to do with any of that. They're talking about safe harbor. It's got nothing to do with that. They're talking about, it has nothing to do with it. All it is something that tries to put enforcement teeth into protecting a copyright holder in the United States who is being exploited or violated by a foreign torrent site. You can't go over there as the United States government and say to the Swedish Pirate Bay, hey, Jackball, take my stuff down. Yeah, stick it. That's what they tell you. What happened in recent years is that Hollywood lawyered up big time, and they went to the Swedish courts with their Swedish lawyers, Sony, Warner Brothers, whoever, and tried to get relief through the Swedish courts, and they were partially successful. In fact, they had these individuals jailed at Pirate Bay. They were fined, and I believe the materials were taken down, but I think some of it's gone back up again. So even after all of that, and these offices were raided by the Swedish police, these guys were arrested, and a lot of this stuff is... This Pirate Bay is supported by people because they think that Pirate Bay is only exploiting big money Hollywood. Even Newt Gingrich, who may be bright on a lot of subjects, he doesn't know his ass from a hole in the ground about this act, even though he does oppose it. And I think it's the right thing to oppose because it's a badly written act. But the problem remains. If it was just Hollywood, I would probably be... likely to agree with a lot of people. What do I care, man? It's Hollywood. But it's not. It's everybody. It's anybody that has a copyright in the United States, a media copyright for audio material, video material, even printed material. Anyone, and these are people, folks, I know them, they write music and they buy themselves, they get the copyright for their sheet music. That stuff gets posted illegally. How do you protect them? That's the question. If you're against Stop Online, if you're against that act, If you don't like the Online Piracy Act, how do you propose to protect small copyright holders in the United States from being exploited internationally? Or do you not care because you're stupid? Yeah, I'm sorry, but that's basically what it would be. That's how I feel. I'm Phil Hendry. That's One Man's Opinion. We have to take a break. Phil Hendry Show. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I guess I'm stupid.
Well, we know that.
Phil Hendry. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
You understand what I'm saying?
No.
No, I didn't think you would understand what I was saying. It's so complicated. All I'm telling you, and you got to understand, so where does that lead us? I was just giving you a background there on Stop Online Piracy, because there's a big story in the news today. Not one day after there was a very ostentatious demonstration of opposition to the Online Piracy Act, which, by the way, I support that opposition, because the Online Piracy Act, which is an act that they proposed to pass to deal with this problem of international torrent sites, international internet thieves, if you will, taking material from, say, the United States or any country and posting it illegally and ignoring takedown notices, ignoring the copyright holder when he says, hey, excuse me, I own that, could you take that off your site? How do you deal with that? Well, this Online Piracy Act is not a good solution. It casts too wide a net. I'll give you an example of something that's in this bill. This bill would propose that any torrent site anywhere in the world that is in violation, is infringing copyrights and is in violation of international law that way, or the local law, that any search engine in the United States or under U.S. law may not list that site on their search engine, on search engine results. Well, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Now, what does that do? You and me, now we got to go through our freaking search engine to make sure that we're not mentioning all of these sites because they're illegal to mention. Because why is that? Because they're copyright infringers. Now what you're doing is you're casting the net too far. And not only that, you're sticking your nose into some areas that they, you know, you got no business, Uncle Sam. All right? You're telling me now you're sticking your nose into my bag? I got a search engine, okay? I'm not violating any copyrights. I'm not breaking the law. I got a search engine. Well, yeah, but people are finding the name of this company that's in violation of law in your search engine. So? So what? So they are. So maybe people ought to get educated enough to know that when they look up the company that they just found, that these guys are copyright violators, and let the individual decide for himself what he wants to do about that. So the solution to the problem, the Online Piracy Act, is a bad solution. But the problem still exists, and no matter how, and here's something that's just beyond belief. Dig this. This is funny. It's the whole public attitude and reaction to this is really funny. And I hate to use the word stupid, but it seems to get people's attention. It offends people and it pisses them off. And it maybe it makes people not want to hear any more of your message, but I can't think of any other word that's more appropriate than that word when it comes to the discussion of these matters in the American, you know, dialogue. But there's a site called megayouupload.com. The United States has shut it down. Not one day after this huge demonstration of opposition to a piracy act that is a bad act. But nonetheless, it was an attempt to address a problem that is existing. And here's one of the problems that exists. But part of the problem, megayouupload.com. It is a site that is a torrent site. They illegally host material that the copyright holders don't want to have hosted or posted or up or down or whatever you want to call it. And they don't care. They put it up there anyway. I mean, what's that? I don't understand that. People will say, it's internet freedom. Internet freedom. Oh, okay. So you don't get to have a copyright, I guess, on anything. Oh, yeah. And a lot of these morons that support internet freedom, they don't want to get into the discussion because they're not, they've got pea shooters. I mean, it's a mob, and they just scream and they yell. And because it's anonymous that does a lot of this hacking, which is just basically a whole lot of trolls, And if you saw that one guy from Britain, remember that mouth breather they arrested?
Oh, yeah, that guy, he looked like he had something wrong with his head.
Yeah, that one guy.
Yeah, that's what they all look like, that guy. So anyway, federal prosecutors have shut down one of the world's largest file-sharing sites, MegaYouUpload.com, on charges of violating piracy laws a day after a 24-hour blackout of popular websites such as Wikipedia drew national attention to the issue. Whatever Wikipedia, I don't know what their point was. Wikipedia is the least likely to be affected by anti-piracy laws. What the hell? I don't get it. So, the action is among the largest criminal copyright cases ever brought by the United States. The indictment accuses seven individuals and two corporations, Mega You Upload Limited, Investor Limited, holders of more than $500 million... What? Well, in any event, it accuses seven individuals and two corporations, holders more than $500 million in lost revenue from pirated firms and other sites. It was other content. It was unsealed today. It was at one point the 13th most popular website in the world. In other words, $500 million in lost revenue for people. This is a horribly written article. Mega You Upload, it was written by Fox, so that doesn't surprise me at all. And for you people out there, you really got to get a clue. I know you're a conservative or liberal. You like CNN, you like Fox, whatever. Both CNN and Fox suck. Get with it. They're both, they are no longer news sites. They are now both blogs, man. They're now both propaganda sheets. I can't get one straight story out of Fox to save my ass. They haven't got anybody there that knows how to write news, not objectively, and CNN, double for them. All right, Mega You Upload was unique and not only because of its massive size and the volume of downloaded content, they had high-profile support from celebrities, if you can believe this. Kim Kardashian, probably because she's just an imbecile. But Alicia Keys and others. Alicia Keys was married to the CEO of this thing. Alicia Keys is a big-time artist. She's got big-time money and big-time... She's got copyrights. But she's probably making so much bread on the downloads that she sells... Okay, and her concert dates, all right, and any merchandising that right now this issue is not affecting her. She doesn't really feel it in the pocketbook when someone's downloading her music illegally or, or without paying for it, let's say. But there are others, Ms. Keys, who are not as popular as you, don't make as much money as you, who do rely more heavily on that copyright protection, and that means something to them. Kim Kardashian, why she supports it, I don't know, other than to just sort of be cool. Because I can tell you one thing, and I could be wrong, but I think Kim Kardashian makes her money as a contract artist. I don't think that family owns a large enough portion of that show they do. That Kardashians Take New York, whatever that crap is. And that other damn thing. What's the show called?
Well, you talking about the Kardashians?
Yeah.
It's called, Life with the Kardashians, something like that.
Okay, well, whatever. So that show is owned, the majority of that show, I bet you, is owned by the network that has it, whatever the hell it is, Lifetime. They probably got a piece of it now. They must have a piece, but there's no way. There's no way. So Kim Kardashian makes most of her bread as a contract player on her
like perfume and stuff,
on perfume and all that crap. She doesn't understand copyright any more than she probably understands whether it's the sun's up or it's down, or whether that's a moon or where she is. A beautiful woman, yes she is, but it stops
right at her ass.
Yeah, it stops right at the edges of her ass. There you go.
Yeah, that's the funniest thing I ever heard in my life. Kim Kardashian stops at her ass.
All right, it's not that funny. The Hong Kong-based company listed Swizz Beatz, a musician who married Keys in 2010, as its CEO. Nice move there, Swizz. You marry Alicia Keys, it gives you a little bit of credibility. You don't look like such a douchebag, right? The individuals in the criminal enterprise each faces a maximum penalty of 20 years in prison on a racketeering for conspiracy to commit copyright infringement. Here's why this entire issue is still in the fore. Here's why it's in the news. Here's why you and I hear about it. Because if it was just, say, Phil Hendry getting ripped off, if it was just, say, The odd musician getting ripped off, a guy that writes sheet music getting ripped off, somebody who has a recording studio who has the rights to some of the music that he's recorded, some of the producers. It was just small players like us. You wouldn't hear about this because we don't have enough bread. We don't have a voice. I could be on the radio talking about it, but all I'm going to get is a bunch of static from a bunch of dumbasses. Every time I talk about this issue, all I get is static from dumbasses who will, you know, argue with me, but they haven't read the law, they don't understand it, and they just want to, you know, and they don't own anything, and they're not in it for anything other than just to be stupid. But the reason why you guys know about it is because, guess what? Hollywood! Yeah! Oh, yeah. Hollywood, when they get ripped off, they go to war. They go to war, and they have been, they've to the tune of, you saw the number here, $500 million. That's peanuts. It isn't just mega you upload. These guys are making news because the United States government said, basically they said this. They said, really, you're having a, you don't want the online pirate? Well, that's, we can understand that. You have every right not to like that. Guess what? Boom! They came in with their big-ass broom, and they swept up Mega U Upload. They're done. Now, why? Like I said, Hollywood's got the lawyers, they got the money, and they ain't going to go away. And those guys, they don't like it, you know. There may be internet freedom this and internet freedom that. Those cats are, they are. Now, we had a guy on here, and he was saying...
Remember that one guy said whistling songs?
Well, that guy was a moron. He said, why? Does that mean I can't whistle a song in the shower? That's not what it's about at all. You can whistle. You can even whistle the melody to your neighbor, and you guys can whistle the melody back and forth and say, hey, I really like that song. Can you whistle another song? Sure. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with me downloading something, if I was, you know, allowed to, and giving it to a friend of mine. There's nothing wrong with that. The law has always been about posting this stuff for the consumption of the public. Do you have the right? And if you don't, then you're supposed to, once the copyright holder asks you to take it down, you're supposed to take it down. The problem arises when these douchebags refuse to take it down because they think they understand the law, and they don't, and they wind up being threatened with lawsuits or having their, you know, their ass taken apart some night in a parking lot, and then they finally, oh, okay, and then they, you know, do what they're supposed to do. With a Pirate Bay located in Sweden, they ain't doing nothing, man.
They're just over there just doing what they want.
Yeah, and then they got their ass thrown in prison. Now, I don't know what Sweden's about. I don't give a damn. You know, Sweden's going to do what Sweden's going to do. And I don't really like a U.S. law that starts to stick its enforcement nose into a man's search engine. That's a private business, it's whatever, because some piece of crap in Sweden or in Canada, which is where I had my problems, some freaking Canadian... Living in his mom's, living in his mom's closet, probably wearing his mom's clothes. Well, you know, we almost had to go up there and, anyway. So, U.S. law is U.S. law, but if you want to reach into the, over the borders into other countries, you're going to have to come up with something better than this, this stop online piracy. But I ain't joining a bunch of dumbasses with the whole hashtag SOPA and blah, 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 and not even know what the hell it is they're talking. You know, I ain't doing that. Because I'm not going to be with a bunch of morons that don't know what it is they're protesting. And I probably am going to regret having said that because I'm doing business with some of those very people. Oh, God.
Yeah, you blew it.
Oh, well. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show to wrap up here tonight. Weren't we talking about the debate?
I forget.
I forget, too. We'll be back.
Truth
with more
is
stuff
our
we forgot.
Bitch. The Phil Show. Hendry Show. This is your world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And this is our News and Information Hour as we talk about the news and the issues with Bud and with Robert, and we try to educate them as well. I don't want to talk any more about that SOPA. I'm done with SOPA. I don't care if we're talking about SOPA or if we're talking about SOPA.
You mean Al Bondi, guys?
Who's he?
What do you mean, who's he?
Talk about soup.
Oh, yeah.
Al Bondegas, who's he? It's a soup, man. It's a Hispanic soup, a Mexican soup. And, oh, my God, is it good.
What, man?
Yeah, it's really good. They got cilantro in it and everything.
Cilantro. Cilantro?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's got meatballs, these Mexican meatballs, which are probably made with a little bit of pork. And since I don't eat swine, I never ask, you know.
When did you stop eating swine?
I stopped eating swine when I got into the whole pigs are your pet thing. It's just, I don't know, man. Don't ask me. I don't want to, you know, I just don't eat it. I don't eat pork. I just don't eat pork. That's the end of that. And that's the discussion. I barely eat meat now.
That on account of you think a cow's got a soul?
No, man.
That's why a lot of people don't eat it.
No, man. It's because, frankly, it's not the high. It's not the best quality protein. I'm into fish now, and I'm into that protein powder. You know, man, I'm doing that whole diet thing. But albondigas soup, oh, baby. You ain't never had anything so good. And they make it with a little bit of sliced up onion. You got a little bit of carrot going on in there. And I guess they use kind of a chicken stock, and then they have the meatball. It's a very healthy soup. I mean, there's not a damn thing in it that's other than maybe the pork meat that they use. But they use the ground beef and pork they use in the meatballs. Then they use the cilantro, diced up onions, a little bit of chicken stock. They have carrots in there. It is fantastic, man. I never miss getting a bowl of that. Of course, you know.
Ain't it done your diet or anything?
Yeah, what about that?
Well, look, man, if I go out to a restaurant and they say that you should blow out a diet every now and again, the reason why they say that, they say if you're always on your diet, then the body begins to, the metabolism of your body reacts to that. The metabolism, it's almost as if the body is saying, there's not as much fat coming in here now. Maybe there is a famine on. I mean, that's literally what happens. The body reacts as if there's a famine, so it begins to store whatever calories are coming in. The body is storing more and more, even though you're eating less and less. And that's why, of course, exercise has to be worked into the program, because you've really got to force your body to burn that fat, man. Otherwise, it's sitting there going, there's not as much, you know, calories coming in here. There must be a famine, and that's the way the human body is made. So it begins to, you know, use those calories that it is getting more efficiently and storing it. So you don't find yourself losing the weight as fast. So what happens then is you blow the diet out, man. You go out and you have a hamburger, you know, every month or something. Or you go and you have some Mexican food. And what happens there is your body goes, oh, so we are eating regularly. And it begins to, you know, the metabolism changes back a little bit. So you can burn that, burn those calories more efficiently.
I don't understand.
Me neither.
I didn't think you guys would understand, but then I'm not talking directly to you. You guys are just going to have to read up on it.
But I don't get what it means. It ain't burning it regular.
I don't, bud. You just think about it, will you, man? If your body is eating a certain way, and then the body says, now, wait a minute, we're not getting as much food as we used to get. Maybe there's a famine on. Maybe we have to use more efficiently the calories that are coming in. Otherwise, we're going to starve. So you're not losing as many calories as the metabolism changes to retain some of those. So you need to get the body back into thinking it's business as usual. Throw a hamburger in there every now and again. Throw in some spaghetti.
So it starts to burn the calories like it used to.
Oh, okay.
Yes, so it starts to burn the calories like it used to. But that's not the whole answer. The whole answer is also working in daily exercise, man. You got to go out and you got to, like me, man, out on the beach. You saw me. We're working my ass off. God, that's, you know.
Man, you look like you're going to die. I mean, why is that so tough?
Working out in the sand out there? Are you out of your mind? It's insane. I swear to God, I would rather be dead. Trying to run in that? It's brutal. And I see people out there, and they're jogging along like, hey, Susie, how are you doing? I'm Mr. Clean. Woo! You know? And I'm running, and I must look like I'm on the lam from, like I just deserted the French Foreign Legion or something, you know, covered in sweat. And I just, you know? That's brutal out there. But that's the beauty of living that close to the sand. Man, you go out there and try to run in that stuff, and you will definitely feel it. So you asked me about albondiga soup. Now I want to go make some, you know.
Man, that'd be good, man. That don't sound like I got a lot of calories.
Nah, it probably doesn't, but, dude, I, you know, like I said.
Yeah, you can't have no pig meat, because he ain't meat and he don't eat no pig.
Oh, yeah, that what all the fat is?
I'm not going to have any of that, man, so forget it. And you could probably get the stuff, and it's made with beef, so whatever. All right. Just a couple of other things here in the news. I know this is the Sundance Film Festival has opened, and the Sundance Film Festival has movies about the broken American dream, and that sounds like a really uplifting time. All right, man. If I'm going to go up to Park City, which is a beautiful town there in Utah, and go up and enjoy the beauty of the mountains and the snow, I don't want to go up to the Sundance Film Festival and get bummed up, man. I mean, what's the story with you cats? Okay, I will not go up there and sit down and watch another bummer courtesy of Bob Bumford. Jeez.
Is that the guy, Butch Cassidy and the Bum Dance Kid?
Yeah.
Butch Cassidy and the Bum Dance Kid. Anyway, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and yours truly, Phil Hendry. And we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. So if you have any, if you have any needs, any download needs, as long as we were talking about those, visit us online and get our podcasts. Get it all, baby, there at philhendryshow.com.
Phil.
See you guys later.